Good morning. Greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's a great privilege again to be here and see you all again where we can worship God. Recognize there's a few people that are missing this morning, but we're so thankful for each one that's here, including the visitors. God bless you for coming. Trust that we can have our hearts inspired and encouraged this morning in this wonderful Thanksgiving season, if you want to call it that we're living in. Why don't we just take a moment, stand to our feet, and we'll pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come before you this morning with grateful hearts because of your everlasting love to us. Father, we recognize you as a holy God, and we thank you that Jesus Christ has paid the price for our redemption, and that we can stand free this morning in Christ. And we just bless you for that. We thank you, Lord, for every soul that is here this morning. May our hearts truly be edified and encouraged. And we pray for those this morning that would desire to be here but cannot. We think of Mose and Rhoda and whatever sickness they have. We pray for a speedy recovery and for health and strength. We believe Grandma Rachel possibly isn't here as a result of not being well also. We pray for her recovery. And others that may not be here because of sickness or other reasons, we pray for Nathan and Helen in Africa, that you would bless them, along with Grandpa Harold, who's absent this morning, possibly at another place this morning. We just commit him to you and pray that you would bless him and bless our lives together. Dear God, we look to you and commit our lives to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, I would just like to bless you young ladies for singing this morning from a grateful heart. And I would just like to encourage you, don't ever stop that. I believe that's part of our worship to God. That's part of an expression this morning of a thankful heart. And so I'd like to bless you in that. Young men, I'd like to encourage you to follow the suit of the young ladies and be singing young men. I'd like to encourage you, don't wait till you're 24 years old like I was. I have a lot of regrets of my young youth years that I have and was living for myself. I'm thankful for God's redeeming love that reached down and saved me at 24 years old and gave me a desire to sing. But I feel like I lost a lot of time that can be redeemed. But I'd like to encourage you, don't do what I did in that aspect and wait so long. So I'd just like to bless the young ladies for sharing. That was rich. Well, I just share with a little bit of mixed emotion this morning. I feel like we heard a lot of real good, encouraging Thanksgiving thoughts this morning, that we could take the things that we learned this morning, the things that we heard, and we could go, and we have enough. I have a lot of some of the same thoughts to share as what we already heard this morning, which is a little unusual, but I guess not totally, because it is Thanksgiving season. And it's a time where I believe we as a church ought to be reminded to be a grateful, thankful people. And so I guess the Lord would like to encourage us a little more in that journey this morning of having a grateful heart. Someone has once said that we ought to have 364 days a year of thanksgiving and one day for grumbling and complaining. But I would just like to encourage us as God's children this morning, I think we ought to be the most grateful people in the world. And it was good for me in my considerations this week and my studies yesterday to look into this whole subject of being grateful and what the Word of God has to say about being grateful. And I'd like to become a more grateful person. I'd like to become a more grateful person this morning. So I'd like this morning to impress that on our hearts. You know, I don't want to downplay the fact that this is the season of Thanksgiving, and it is a blessing to set a day aside and to reflect on the goodness of God. But I also, as we heard already, would like us to be stretched into the whole subject or the concept of being a thankful people every day for the many blessings of God. Thus, my title this morning would be Recognizing the Importance of a Life of Gratitude. Recognizing the importance not only of one day of being grateful, but to stretch us beyond Thursday of this coming week to live a life of gratitude. And that is a lot of what we heard already this morning. So I guess we'll just go a little farther into that journey. And I would also like to focus a good bit in light of the circumstance. And we already heard that part of it this morning. But that is a lot of where my mind went. And I'll refer to that a little bit later. You know, being thankful isn't some sort of a button that we can push and we automatically become a thankful person. Now, I do believe, and there are people like Brother Carl shared here this morning, that there are those that by nature are just an optimist. They're more of an optimistic person. But I believe it's good for all of us to be stretched into becoming a more grateful person, a more thankful person, rather than just one day a year to focus on that. In order to become a grateful person, I think it's important that we see God in the big picture of life, especially when those less than ideal situations come our way. And I think 2020 has definitely been one of those interesting years. That we can become a grateful person when those less than fortunate situations or ideal situations come my way. My brother Junior had a testimony that when he walked down into the yard that day beside the running lawnmower and pulled his wife off of it and realized that she was gone, he looked up into the heavens and somehow he was able to, through his tears, see God in the picture. And I realized that is a great one that we just about can't wrap our minds around. How can we be grateful when those kind of life situations come our way? And of course, we can't, when those kind of things come our direction, we can't expect anyone to look into the heavens and say, thank you, God, for this. I mean, that would be unrealistic. But I also believe that if we learn to be a grateful people, when those difficult situations come our way, we at some point can be grateful because we can see God in the journey somehow, even though we don't understand. Even though we don't understand. And I think if there was ever a time that we as God's people, when we look at the day that we live in, as we already heard this morning and shared out of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 there about the perilous times that I believe are upon us, I believe it's important that we learn as God's children to have our faith rooted and settled in the Lord Jesus Christ, that when difficult things come our way, we can respond in a heart of faith and confidence with a grateful heart because we know that God's grace will be there and all the way to the end. Gratefulness is not based on the quality of one's wealth. With a heart of gratitude, a meal of beans and salted pork can become a royal feast. Blessings often follow gratitude rather than the reverse order. A person who is not thankful for his or her $100 will likely not be thankful if he had $10 million. And, you know, I think especially as living in part of the wealthiest part of the world, and I think it is a reality that many times those that have the most are the most ungrateful. And so I think it's especially important for us to recognize that and realize the need sometimes for intentionality to be a grateful person, to be a thankful person. I think our expectations of what we think life should be and the actual life often turn out very different from what we sometimes, and sometimes causes us to be ungrateful. So may this be a season in our lives, again, where we recognize the many blessings that God gives us and become a grateful person in daily life. Learning to be thankful is a very important part of our spiritual condition, and I know that Brother Ed already referred to this, but I'd like if we would turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and he read these few verses, but I'd like to just look at them a little bit more and just stop and consider and ponder what it is saying here. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6 and 7 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. Now, many times I have reflected on this verse and used this verse and thought about this verse and encouraged my children with this verse that, you know, we shouldn't be weighed down with a lot of these things, but with prayer and supplication. And I often refocus on that prayer and supplication, making our requests known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. But I'd like to focus on the fact that it says with thanksgiving. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And the importance of it. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. You know, it's an incredible promise here of God's keeping power. God's keeping power, but the prerequisite is prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So I think we see in this passage of script, the passage of Scripture, the importance of thanksgiving. The importance of thanksgiving. You know, sometimes we probably all face those low times in our lives. Low times in our lives, possibly where we're struggling. And you know, I think it's important this morning that when we face those kind of times, we can examine our hearts. Am I a thankful person? Am I a thankful person? A heart of gratitude. You know, I do believe that it's those that see the brighter side of life many times that can be a healthier spiritual and emotional person. And I'd like to just give us that encouragement this morning. You know, that's actually the promise this morning of a sound mind. A mind that is at rest. A mind that is just totally committed to God, I see in this passage of Scripture. But it's also a person that is thankful. And so I just share all that to say and to just give us some encouragement to be a grateful people. I think as God's children, we should be a grateful people. I'd just like to read over a few things here as we consider 2020. And I made mention about the importance of a life of gratitude, especially considering our circumstances. 2020, you know, it's an interesting year or time or season of our lives that we have just gone through. You know, some businesses have experienced unprecedented prosperity. And there's other businesses within the last year that have closed their doors. There's some huge political disappointment. Others happy with the expected outcome. Some incredible fear of COVID. And there's others who just simply view life as usual. Some lost loved ones close to them. Others none affected. Some incredible church struggles. Others having a blessed church experience, which I am so thankful for it here. But you know, there are churches out there that are struggling immensely through this season because of everything related to COVID. And I'm thankful for the blessing that we have here. But you know, for those that are struggling, when we are in those struggling kind of situations, can we somehow see God in the challenge and be grateful? Some health struggles with no end in sight. Others experience good health and healing. Some death of close relatives others cannot identify. Some incredible struggle trying to figure out how to relate to government expectations. Others charting a clear course with life as usual. And you know, when we have such varied differences going on in people's minds, oftentimes is a recipe for misunderstanding and frustration in relationships. And my encouragement this morning that even in spite of those kind of things that can be happening to us in many practical ways, that we can keep our hearts encouraged and somehow see God in the big picture of life when these difficult things come our way. That we can see God in the big picture. And that is where I'd like to go with this morning. In practical ways, when we have those kind of things that broadside us, and, you know, we all have expectation. You know, it's amazing. When we look back at history for the last, I don't know how many decades now, we've had it pretty good. We as God's children have it pretty good. And those times could be changing on us. And so I think it's important that we cultivate a life of gratitude. And you know, another thing I had to think of, there are times when we might encounter extreme difficulty or hardship as a result of someone else's careless life or careless choices that they made in life, and it may affect us. You know, I think many of us could think of examples where because of someone else's careless choice, our life has been affected. Our life has been affected. And can we extend grace and forgiveness in those kind of times and still maintain a life of gratitude for God and still see God in the picture, even though those things can happen to us sometimes? Our circumstances does not have to be a determining factor of whether or not we live a life of gratitude. You know, as we heard this morning, it is a choice and it's a command. And I believe the other one was it is a commitment. And in reality, That's all that I'm talking about here. But, you know, I had to think about this morning, as Ed was saying about it, it's a choice and it's a command. But I believe if we allow ourselves to have patterns of gratitude, that it can just, you know, there are times where we will need to make a choice. But if we can live our lives in such a way that it just becomes a natural part of our life. I see that so many ways in the Apostle Paul, which I'll refer to possibly a little bit later. You know, as I just, and we heard a lot about it this morning, a lot of the verses that Brother Ed read this morning, I was looking at numerous verses, and the Apostle Paul amazingly was a man of gratitude. If you look at being thankful and thanksgiving and his commending of people, he was a man that lived, I believe, a life of gratitude. And Lord, help us to be more like that. Christians should be the most grateful people. 1 Timothy 1:12-14 says, and this is Paul, "I thank Jesus Christ, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." You know, I'm convinced if we as God's children can see our depravity and our depraved condition without Christ and recognize the beauty of this gift of salvation, I believe it will help us to become a more grateful people. And I believe that is what Paul is referring to here. And Peter said something very similar. He said, "But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past was not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust that war against your soul." So I think it's good to often remind ourselves what God has saved us from and what God has brought us into as God's children. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things that are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but those things which are not seen are eternal." And you know, this morning, if you are choosing to reject Christ, it's no wonder we're an ungrateful people. You know, that's the first choice. And I just make an appeal, especially to you young people, to be fully committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. The first step of becoming a grateful person. That's where our hope is. As God's children, we need not be disillusioned amid life's complexities. You know, this morning, you know, I believe there's a lot of people, even amongst Christendom, that are struggling with the recent presidential election. And you know, when we get our minds set on certain things and then it doesn't work out that way, it can throw people into discouragement and depression. And I think it's so important that we can see God in these difficulties that come our way in life. Just this past week, or possibly might have been a week or two ago, I asked a businessman how he feels the presidential shift could affect his business. And he would be an Anabaptist perspective man. I'm not sure where he's out on voting and all that. But this is what he responded to me with. He confidently informed me that he believes Trump is a real fighter. And with the help of his right-hand man, he believes he's going to win the election. That was his response to me. And I believe in him responding to me in that way. I believe he was also communicating that he believes that if that actually happens, it will be more of business as usual for him. And, you know, I think we have to be careful how we set ourselves up with those kind of expectations. And then when they don't go the way we believe they will go or they should go, it's very easily to become disillusioned and ungrateful with the outcome if we can't see God in it. And so I think that's very important that we have a surrendered heart and we're able to see God when difficulties come. And that we're able to be at a resting place when things don't work out the way we feel they should, I think is very important. And I made reference to it before, my brother, the situation with my brother, you know, when that happened, when he lost his wife, you know, that we can come to a resting place where even though it creates a lot of hardship and difficulty, that somehow we can see the hand of God in it. And, you know, if we as God's children are secure in Christ and we realize that one thing that cannot be taken away from us, we can go through difficulties, we can go through hardship, and we can have some of these things happen to us on this side of eternity. And I trust have a grateful heart despite it. You know, I'd just like to give us encouragement here this morning. You know, when those difficult things come, you know, my 51 plus years of life, I can look back, and I'm sure this morning if we'd open it up here and ask for those of you to share some of your life's difficulties, you know, we all face those perplexing, difficult life situations where we look at it and we stare at it and we don't understand. We wonder, how can this be? How can God allow this kind of thing to happen? But many times, a year or two or three down the road, at some point we can look back and we can see the hand of God in it. We can see the hand of God in it. And I'd just like to encourage us this morning as God's children. You know, I'd like to look now, and in fact you can turn to a book in the Bible, Habakkuk, a book in the Bible that we don't often refer to. And I'd like to look just at a little bit of an overview of what happens here in this passage of Scripture to give us some encouragement from Habakkuk as one of the minor prophets this morning. I'd like to look at the first few verses this morning here in this passage of Scripture. Okay, so Habakkuk chapter 3, I'm going to read the first four verses. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee in violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievances? For spoil and violence are before me, and there are that rise up strife and contention. Wherefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. You know, it appears that this is a very dark time in history for God's people. And here we have Habakkuk, which is a prophet, and he's crying out to God. If I understand history correctly, it's possible after a godly leader, Josiah, had passed off the scene, and there was such great wickedness. And here we have, in these first couple verses, we have Habakkuk crying out to God. He says, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out to thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. You know, he's crying out to God about the spiritual condition of what the experience was at that time, and it seems that God is giving him something different. He even says the prayer of violence, and it seems like he's saying, God, don't you see what's happening? Won't you save us? All this wickedness and evil, and it seems that God is just nothing is happening. And then in verse 5, God responds back and said, behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I rise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land, and possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful, and their judgment and their dignity shall proceed from themselves. So here we have, as I said, we have Habakkuk crying out to God, don't you see all this violence? There was injustice, and all these acts of evil were happening, and it seems God is silent. And then when God does respond here in verse 5, he says he's going to do a wonder and marvelous work in his days. He says, for lo, he raises up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land and possess their dwelling places that are not theirs. You know, so here we have this, the Chaldeans that are being raised up, and and God is raising them up to do a marvelous work, he tells him. And so then, I'm not going to read the entire chapter, but he goes through, there's different dialogue back and forth between God and Habakkuk, and he's having a hard time dealing with what God is allowing to happen. And you know, I believe that maybe that's us this morning. Maybe we struggle with what's happening on a political level in our country. We struggle as we see where our government could be going and some of the liberties that could be taken away from us. But I'm convinced this morning, and I think Habakkuk here is an example to us, that we do not need to lose our joy despite the world conditions that we may be facing. God's children don't need to lose their joy. And I believe the difference is if we're rooted and grounded in our faith in Christ, even though some of our freedoms will very likely be taken away, even though some of what we experience, which was life as usual for many, many years, can be taken away. But I'm convinced this morning that, and of course, none of us would ask for these things, but I believe we can maintain a life of gratitude and joy if we're rooted and grounded in faith and have our confidence in Christ. And that's my encouragement this morning. And I think we see that here in the latter part of Habakkuk. But let's just keep in mind that God is revealing to him that they may even take their homes and these kind of things. And Habakkuk concludes with a beautiful prayer in chapter 3. And we're not going to read the whole thing, but I'd like to just read the last three verses of this chapter. In chapter 3, verse 17 says, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength, he will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon high places, the chief singer on my stringed instrument." So he concludes here on a positive note. And I'd like that to be some encouragement for us here this morning. That though we may face hardship, I believe we can have the same kind of heart that we see here in Habakkuk. It didn't take away his joy. It didn't take away his song. I believe he had some things to work through. I believe he did. I believe he had to walk through that dialogue with God. But he brought his heart to a resting place. He brought his heart to a resting place. And this morning, I'd like to encourage us that I believe we can bring our heart to a resting place. So I'd just like to look at a number of practical things here. Let's turn to Hebrews 11. Let's turn to Hebrews 12. And verse 27 and 29. And I'm not going to, if we would start about halfway through the passage, the chapter of the scripture here, we would see he's contrasting the old covenant with the new. And he is concluding here with the beauty of the new covenant. And in verse 27, he says, "For this word once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as those things which are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. For we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." You know, this morning I think it's important that we as a church recognize that there are those things that cannot be taken away. The things that cannot be taken away, our salvation, cannot be taken away, and we can rest in that this morning. Okay, another thing in a practical sense I'd like to look at, just back to the chapter before, Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. As we think of the whole subject of being grateful, and we think of the subject this morning of those less than ideal things that come our way, I think one of the things that will help us to be able to be a grateful people amidst life difficulties, we'll see in this passage here. I'll read chapter 11, verse 13 through 16. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly, where God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." I'd just like to encourage us this morning to be strangers and pilgrims on this side of eternity. I think if we truly embrace the stranger and pilgrim aspect of the Christian life, when those kind of difficulties and things come our way, they don't have to derail us this morning. And I'd like to encourage us this morning with that. You know, when those difficult things come, as what Habakkuk was facing, I think if we have the mentality and the idea that we're here as strangers and pilgrims. You know, I had to think this morning of Nathan and Helen. They're over there in Tanzania. And I'm sure there's a lot of very different strange things as they're in a strange place. They're strangers and they're pilgrims. And you know, it is so easy for us, even as God's children, to get comfortable with life here. And get comfortable with life as usual. But it's good to remind ourselves of the whole concept of being strangers and pilgrims on this side of eternity. All right, I'd like for us just to consider a bit James chapter 1. A few pages back in your Bible, if you turn there. James chapter 1. And here again, I'm thinking this morning of finding joy and gratitude amidst life's disappointments that come our way. James chapter 1, verse 1 through 4 says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. I'm going to read verse 2, 3, and 4 in a different translation. Consider it all joy, brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that ye may be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. You know, I believe it's those difficult things that come our way that God uses to make us stronger in our faith. It says here it works endurance. It works our endurance. And I'd just like to encourage us this morning that though at times we will face those things staring us at us that we would rather not have. You know, maybe it's a doctor telling us we have an incurable disease. Maybe it's a parent trying to guide a child in the way that he would rather not go. And maybe the teenager. I know being a teenager can be tough. Don't see it the way the parents do. And the parent is guiding the teenager. And those kind of difficulties come our way. And you know, it's not always just those things where I use the example as my brother losing his wife. It's small ways that we face those difficulties that we don't understand and that we would rather just push them out of our life, but they come our way. There's no way over it, around it, or under it. We have to face it. And to be able to face those things in the grace of God and realize that even though we may not understand it, many times God is working something in our lives to make us a better child of God. And when we can accept them. Just this week, Wednesday night before we came to church, I had the furnace repairman there working on my furnace. And we were, of course, getting ready. He was there working late to fix our furnace. And we were getting ready to go to church. And he came to the bottom of the stairway just before we left and just had a few words for me about finishing the job up. And he said, are you going to prayer meeting tonight? I said, well, no, actually, it's not. I told him what for service we had on Wednesday night. He said, oh, he said, I thought maybe you had prayer meeting. I was going to tell you to pray for my wife and I. He said, we haven't been living together for, what did he say, 2 or 3 months. And of course, I expressed I felt bad for him and I cared about his journey. But you know, there are those that are facing hard things and I have no idea what all he's facing other than I know he'd long to be with his wife. And I don't know what the difficulty is there, but when those kind of difficult things come, if we can face them in the grace and the fear of God and do what needs to be done. Verse 17 says, of the same chapter says, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, of whom is no valuableness, no shadow of turning. You know, God sees the big picture of life and God knows those things for each one of his children, what to give them. And we can trust God for those kind of things, even those unpleasant tests that come our way. God knows and understands the journey and knows what it is. And I believe, and you know, a lot of you would know that we went through some rather intense church struggle a number of years ago, and it was a very difficult, dark time for my wife and I. It was very difficult. But you know, honestly, now we're a couple years away from it, I can look back and I can see some of those difficult lessons that God taught me through that that I would have never asked for. But God knew what was best. I call them million-dollar experiences you wouldn't give $5 for. And they're just a part of life. They come our way at times. But I'm convinced through those difficulties, I believe we can still see the hand of God. Or we can trust the hand of God even though we don't see it. Might be a better way of saying it. So there are those difficulties that come our way. There are those that lose a job and have a hard time seeing through it. But you know, it's good for us to recognize possibly God has something better. I know there's many a young people that have relationship expectations that maybe never materialize or huge disappointments. But somehow, when that young person can see the hand of God and we can trust God and choose to be grateful, choose to be thankful, even amidst that, believing that God has something better for his children, even though at times it doesn't feel very loving. We heard the verse earlier. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And I trust we can see God in those things. Finding blessings with a thankful heart. I'd like to read this to you. If one should give me a dish of sand and tell me there are particles of iron in it, I might look for them with my clumsy fingers and be unable to detect them. But let me take a magnet and sweep through it, and it would draw to itself the most invisible particles. An unthankful heart, like my fingers in the sand, discovers no mercies. But let the thankful heart sweep through the day, and the magnet finds the iron, so it will find some heavenly blessings. So may we have that kind of a heart that can see God in the difficult things. Just to allude to another thing that I think is important, that we develop a worshipful heart. You know, I found it interesting the other evening. I was on my way home from work a bit late and it was getting dark, and it was the most beautiful and magnificent sunset that I saw in a long time. It was interesting to me. Within an hour or so later, I saw there was a number of other people put on the status the same sunset. And it was just one of those beautiful sunsets. And I'd just like to use that as an example that we learn to develop a worshipful heart to help us along the journey with a life of gratitude to God, to have that worshipful heart that sees the hand of God in the small and beautiful things in life. And that's part of the reason this morning why I just wanted to bless the young ladies for singing a song again. Just have a worshipful heart. You know, I didn't grow up as a young person doing much singing at all. We were not a singing family. And in my youth years, I was not that kind of a person at all. And I missed a lot. And I believe it will help us spiritually and emotionally in a lot of ways as a young person to develop a worshipful heart and just worship God for the small things in life. I think will be an encouragement to us. Another point in consideration that I believe is a huge one for living a life of gratitude, a grateful life, and I'm getting into some of the more practical things now. But one thing here that I really think of is very, very important in helping us in a practical way to have a grateful heart in life. And you can turn again to Philippians for this one. Philippians chapter 2, 3 through 8. And Jesus is our example here. He says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ is an incredible example to us this morning of having his focus and his eyes on something other than himself. And you know, I think that's one real key to life in living a life of gratitude, is getting our focus off of ourselves on how I can bless others. What I can do for others, I think, is an incredible key this morning of living a life of gratitude. And Jesus is an example of that here this morning when he says, look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others, and have that mind of Christ. And I think he's just an incredible example. You know, I think a giving people are some of the most blessed people. As it says in Acts, it's more blessed to give than to receive. You know, most of us are sitting here this morning looking forward to enjoying this wonderful meal that the young ladies prepared for us. And we'll get blessed by it, but I believe the young ladies will get blessed more than we will, because they are the ones that gave. And I think if we tend to be one of those more pessimistic people this morning that have a hard time with living a grateful life, sometimes what we just need to do is stop and get our focus and our eyes off of ourselves, like Jesus Christ did, and how I can bless others, and be amazed at how that will turn around and be a blessing to our own soul. And I'd just like to give us that encouragement this morning. A mother and her two children were destitute. In the depth of winter, they were nearly frozen, and the mother took the cellar door off the hinges and set it up in front of the corner where they crouched down to sleep so that some of the draft and cold might be kept from them. One of the children whispered to her mother, "What do those poor children do that don't have a cellar door to put up in front of them?" In this situation, her focus wasn't on herself. What do those other people do that don't have a cellar door? Of course, not recognizing her own condition. But I think many times it's important that we learn to get our focus off of our situation that we think might be extremely bad, and bless someone else. And bless someone else. And I would like to encourage the children here this morning. You know, we're used to, at a fellowship meal, we get to run off and do things and play with our friends. Today you get to receive a blessing. There's a few mothers here that have something special planned for you this morning. And you will learn, I believe, that blessing of it being more blessed to give than to receive. Someone wrote it this way: count your blessings, not your crosses. Count your gains instead of your losses. Count your joys instead of your woes. Count your friends instead of your foes. Count your smiles instead of your tears. Count your courage instead of your fears. Count your full years instead of your lean. Count your kind deeds instead of your mean. Count your health instead of your wealth. Count on God instead of yourself. Well, in conclusion, I'd like to look again at Philippians chapter 4. And that is where we started off with this morning, where we have this promise about being careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. I'd just like to encourage us this morning, as I would like to encourage myself, that if I face those bumps in life where I find myself to be a bit downcast, I find myself to be struggling a bit, it's good for us to evaluate our own heart and say, are we really depending on God, as it says here, and do I really have a thankful heart? Am I expressing that thanksgiving to God? And then I'd just like to give us some encouragement as we think of trying to keep our hearts encouraged. As it says here, Paul instructs us in the following verse. Verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." You know, the way we think has a lot to do with our outlook on life. Has a lot to do with our outlook on life. You know, we can, and I hate to keep bringing political things into the scene here, but you know, we can look at our political scene, and we can just dwell on that, and it can get us down. But I think it's important that we look on things that are true, things that are honest, things that are lovely and just and pure, good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I'd like to encourage us with that this morning. So I'd like to just really end here on a practical note. You know, tomorrow will be Monday, and we'll be back in, you know, back to life as usual. And we meet people, and a very common thing that we say in our culture is, "How are you today?" And you know, people have all kinds of responses. Many times they're not real. I appreciate when people are real. But I believe if we're living a life of gratitude, and that would be what I'm challenging myself with, to keep my heart encouraged and live a life of gratitude because of my walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and all that God has for me. getting our eyes off this world, developing the pilgrim and the stranger concept, and being a blessing in this world out of my walk with the Lord, I think we ought to have a positive note to every soul we meet about what we're thankful for. I mean, it's incredible. I was actually going to read a whole lot of verses, but Ed read them this morning. There is incredible verses throughout the epistle of Paul's writing. I mean, he was a very thankful man. And I believe the Apostle Paul was one of them that realized his depraved condition and all that God delivered him from and what he saved him to and lived in that reality. Why can't we? Why can't we this morning and have that same optimism that he had, that gratefulness to God? No, it's not something we should try to concoct up on our own. It won't come out right. But if we're truly walking with the Lord Jesus Christ and living a life of faith, you know, our world is going to get darker and darker and darker. You know, we heard it before. I forget where it was at. It was at a recent seminar where a brother used that light. You know, light is something that goes into a dark room. We don't need bright lights in a room that's already light. This world is getting dark, and each of us can be that light. And I believe that God needs people that are living a life of gratitude and thankful, and we have many opportunity. You know, if we are responding to the general public in the same way the general public responds to us, we really don't have anything to offer. We really don't have anything to offer. It's not what they want. And like I said, it's not that we have to go out there and pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps and try to be optimistic when it's not there. But I believe it's important that we have our walk with God in such a way, and that is what I would like to change me this Thanksgiving season, that I can make more of a difference in this dark world that we live in, as we have with Paul. And I, you know, it would be an interesting study for you to do sometime, just to go through scriptures at all the times that there is verses that reflect on being thankful. We heard many of them this morning, but Paul, many times he was thankful for this church over here. He was thankful for those that were assisting him in his work, and he was thankful, and it just goes on and on and on and on. I think it's a matter of we need to look for it. We need to look for all the ways that God is blessing us these days and be that thankful person. So God bless you in your journey of living a life of being thankful. God bless you.
Well, praise the Lord this morning. We've been richly fed. It's been good to be here. I couldn't help but think about, as Brian was getting towards the end of his message there in Philippians 4, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What is that in relation to the opening that we heard this morning? But a choice. You and I have a choice what we're going to think about. So we make the choice to think on these things. And in that, we will find ourselves being thankful. There's a promise for each one of us in the end of Philippians 4. No matter how difficult your life has been or is, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And that's the reality for each one of us, but we latch hold on to those things by faith, and it's a choice. I was also really challenged with the verses that our brother read in Hebrews 12, and I was intrigued. He read verse 27 about removing those things that are shaken and then the things that cannot be shaken. But I got thinking about that, and then I looked in the verse before that, or two verses before that, and here it's God that's doing the shaking. And that's interesting. Verse 25, it says, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven." And now this is the verse Brother Brian read. "And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of the things that are made, and get this, that those things which cannot be shaken shall remain. Brothers and sisters, this morning, the question for you and I is, your soul, is my soul anchored in those things that cannot be shaken? And if so, we have a light that can shine out of our lives as we go through tomorrow, Monday, as our brother said, and Tuesday and Wednesday leading up to Thanksgiving, and all of the darkness that's around us, all the depression, all the fear, all the discouragement, all the uncertainty. We have a light that can just glow out of our lives if we're anchored in those things that cannot be shaken. Verse 28, wherefore, because of this, we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And so, because of that, let us have grace, which is the flow of God in each one of our hearts, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. I just appreciate all the challenges that have come to us this morning to practically live out these things in our lives, and may we do that. Perhaps some of you have some things you'd like to share, or a testimony of thanksgiving, or whatever it might be. We'll take a few minutes here if anybody has anything. Ephraim.
Well, this sure was good this morning. It was just really good. Thankful to the Lord for speaking to us. And Brian, if you felt like you were repeating anything, that is perfectly fine. We got a double-barreled message this morning. And if anybody didn't get it, something's wrong. I feel challenged, and I know I can do better in being thankful, and I want to do that. My mind was going different ways. This morning, sat down with the Bible and just was reading different places. And then I started in Romans 12 or Hebrews 12 a bit, thinking, what could I be meditating on here that would be beneficial? And the first two words in Hebrews 12, it just stuck with me all morning. It says, wherefore seeing.
Amen.
Just those two words, wherefore seeing. And then considering how the Christian faith is that way. It's not an illogical religion. It's not a faith without reason. It's the most reasonable, logical religion there can be.
Amen.
We respond to reality. God is truth. And the most logical thing we can do is just agree with God.
Yep.
And say amen. And allow Him to work in our life, and accept those things as good for us. As I was growing up years ago on the farm, my dad and brothers and I took a bunch of trees down out in the woods. We had timbered the big trees and left a lot of very fine-looking trees standing, but they weren't quite big enough to harvest yet. Soon after we took these big trees down, there was a wet spell and we got a windstorm, and a bunch of those remaining trees just fell like dominoes. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about, what of the trials we experience? What of 2020? What of COVID? Mm-hmm. And all the personal struggles and trials that we face? Perhaps those are the very best thing God could allow into our life to prepare us to be strong.
Amen.
And true. And not fall when other things, greater things, come our way and cause us to tremble. But our roots are down deep and we can withstand. We can be victorious. 61 in the hymns of the church. A couple of lines here I wanted to read. It just goes so well with this. Oh, I was going to say, the natural man wants to think and worry about what if the very worst thing that could happen would happen. And then dwell on that. Well, for one, if you abide in God and He's in you and He's taking care of you, it won't. Because the very worst thing that could happen is to die a Christless death. like many souls will. But if we are in Christ and He is in us, bad things might and will happen, difficult things. But reading these couple of lines, if on our daily course our mind be set to hallow all we find, new treasures still of countless price God will provide for sacrifice. Now get this, the trivial round, the common task, will furnish all we ought to ask. So what ought we to ask for? Room to deny ourselves a road to bring us daily nearer God.
Amen.
The best thing that can happen in life is get nearer to God.
Yeah.
And therefore, again, back to wherefore seeing, being thankful isn't unreasonable. It's not just turning a blind eye to the difficulties around us and being thankful anyway, because that's what we're supposed to do. There's always so much to be thankful for. Mm-hmm. It's the most reasonable, logical thing to do. Unthankful people are not unthankful because they're extra sound in their mind. There's something wrong if we're unthankful in the midst of all the blessings God gives us. And just back again to this thing of whatever God allows in our life. If our heart is right and it can bring us nearer to God, it's good, and we can give thanks for that always.
Amen. Amen. It's a choice. Others? My brother Ted.
Well, it certainly was a blessing this morning. And I was thinking as the men spoke, you've heard the phrase before, what could we do today? What could we do this week? Or what did you do this week that only a Christian would do? Mm-hmm. What did you do today? What did you do sitting in this auditorium for the last 2 hours or 3 hours that only a Christian could do? Well, the men told us what we could do this week. Brother Brian said we could have worshipful hearts. Yeah. In all situations. And Brother Ed said we could give thanks for everything. What could we do this week that only a Christian could do? We could have our focus and our eyes on how we could bless others. We can humble ourselves before Christ. We can count our many blessings. I like that song. I switch it up a little bit. Most people sing it, count your many blessings, name them one by one. I always sing it, count your many blessings, and name them ton by ton.
Amen.
So what can we do this week that only a Christian can do? We can allow the peace of God. Just listen to those words, the peace of God. We can allow the peace of God to keep our hearts and our minds in Christ.
Amen.
We can live grateful lives through Jesus Christ. So brothers and sisters, let's remember to keep our chins up. It's so much easier to see heaven that way. And it can't get much better than this. And I want to thank Brother Ed and Brother Brian. You're both such a blessing to all of us.
Amen. Thank you, Ted. Brother.
Yes, amen. It's been a real blessing to be here this morning. Many, many good words have been said here this morning. And I was blessed by that. And I really believe that God orchestrates our services. And I think the observation that Ed had a message on gratefulness and Brother Brian had a message on thankfulness, I think God is trying to tell us something.
Amen.
I mean, if we look back at 2020, we know we've had a lot of ripples in 2020, some more so than others. I think we still can be thankful in spite of that. But I think looking forward, we don't know what 2021 brings. I think we should look back to this. Whatever happens to our fellowship, whatever happens in our country, I think we should always keep in the forefront of our mind the message that God had for us here at Ephrata this morning, to be thankful and to keep our focus on Him. And I really like the thought that Brian continued to bring up, to be able to see God in the events around us. And if we can see God working in our lives and even in our nation, if we can see the hand of God and realize that God has things under control, that can bring so much peace.
Amen.
That can bring even joy.
Amen. Amen. Well said. Any others? Go ahead. We'll go here since we got the mic.
I would like to thank you for the message, Brian, and thank you for the devotional, Ed. Those were very encouraging. I had to think of just going through life with the outlook of thankfulness. And I had to think of John D. Martin being at Bible school. And there were two times I asked him, I said, so how are you doing? He goes, I'm doing chipper. He goes, I'm as chipper as can be this morning. And it's just the way he looked at it. And I had the thought that, why was John D. so encouraging to me? He was always thankful. He was always happy. Mm-hmm. And that can be contagious. And so in a world of darkness around us where we're always hearing bad news and sadness and anger and just grumbling and complaining everywhere we turn, we can be a light and encouragement to those around us that life isn't always that bad. Mm-hmm. God is definitely with us and He's definitely listening to us. And if we just simply put our trust in Him, mm-hmm. life will turn out as He wants it to be and it will be the best for us.
Amen.
Thank you again for those messages.
Amen. Sister.
I was blessed beyond words this morning. It was just wonderful. And I am thankful for the gift of salvation and for God that saved my soul. And I am thankful for our church and our leaders. And I am so thankful for our youth. I was so blessed by the girl singing. I hope this picks up a lot more. And I am also thankful that they all gathered and did this big meal for us today. That was so sweet of them. I personally want to thank you all, girls. Thank you very, very much for who you are and for what you're doing. And God bless you.
Amen. Anyone else? Okay, Brother Kent in the back.
I do thank you for over the messages today also. The idea of being thankful and grateful. My mind was kind of challenged just a little bit as I'm pondering that, and I realized there's something right in me ahead of being thankful. I'll hopefully make this point properly by referencing Luke chapter 7, and this is Jesus telling a parable starting in verse 41. He says, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Notice he didn't say which one will be more thankful. Which one will love him most? And so I think our thankfulness must probably be a little bit of an indicator of where our love is as well.
Amen.
And so that was a thought I had.
Yep. It's very good.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.